Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Today we have Scott leading us in worship and Rob Attercourt speaking from the current series, Dressing for the Fight, the Breastplate of Righteousness.
We're so excited to be together as church family, even if we can't be together physically.
Let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God.
Good morning. As our love-hate relationship with various online meeting platforms continues to grow, I think that most people are still really grateful to be able to at least meet. It was so good to join an Energy Leaders meeting this week, which Jenny Ring, who leads our Energy Children's and Youth teams, had organised. During the meeting, Matt Hebditch shared a picture he'd had for us of someone walking head-on through a storm, pushing through it. But behind this person, out of view, was a line of children and young people being protected by the leader at the front. There's this reality that we are pushing through a storm. Looking ahead, sharing hopes for 2021, there were more than a few tears as there was this consensus that we desperately want for our children and young people to be able to meet together in person again. But until we get there, we're going to keep pushing through the storm. Please keep praying for our children and young people. We're so grateful to Jenny and everyone who is going for it. It was great that one of our younger groups, Dynamos, managed to meet together this week for the first time in almost a year. Now, thinking of the year ahead, our missions team have exciting plans to keep us all growing our connections with our friends that we're partnering with around the world. And here's a short video from Pastor Alphonse in Uganda.
Happy New Year, Wilton Baptist Church. We thank God for 2021 that God has made it for us, Ebenezer. We thank God for all what we have passed through in 2020, but 2021 is giving us more work to do. COVID has stopped most of the work because we couldn't move step to step. But as the doors are opening up slowly, 2021, I have tried to encourage the few churches that we have been able to reach to that you don't lose hope. God has been in control and He wants us to work hard this 2021. We are going to again to strengthen more leaders, and we have some more new leaders who are joining us into 2021 who needs encouragement, who needs also to know God's word. And the theme that we are going to start on this 2021 is to know Him and make Him known. So this is going to be within our churches, to the leaders, and also the leaders are going to be helping the churches to reach out in how to help other people know Christ more and more. Therefore, I'm requesting for more prayers. Thank you for being part of us in Uganda Mountain Ministries. God bless you. Amen.
Dave Banks gives our missions team a lead. If you'd like to find out how you could get involved, he'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch. We're going to worship together now, and I've been feeling incredibly thankful this week for the faithful way that so many people serve, both in our communities and in a church setting. A couple of verses from Ephesians 5 have stuck with me. Ephesians 5, 1-2 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Let's pray as we come to worship now. Lord, we thank you that the reason we're sitting wherever we are today, sharing in this together, is because you first loved us. Thank you for the people who are so faithfully serving in our communities, in schools, shops, the NHS, all of our frontline workers. Lord, we bring you those people who are working and serving and don't even get seen and don't get any credit, Lord. We pray that they would know that they are seen by you. Lord, we pray for all these people, that wherever they are, they would know that your love is there for their lives. Amen.
Well, good morning to you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Rob Addicott and I'm the son of John and Mary. You might know them from Welton. And I grew up at Welton, but now worship at Vineyard Bath. It's really kind of you to ask me to be part of this series in Ephesians 6 on the armour of God. And we're going to delve into that again today. But I would encourage you, if you didn't catch what Dave gave last week as an introduction and talked about the belt of truth, just to jump onto the website and have a look at that. It's a really good introduction and it's a really good challenge. So I'd encourage you to do that. But before we go any further, let's read that passage again from Ephesians 6, and we're starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I hadn't realised how difficult it is to say an ambassador. There we go. There's so many things going on in this passage, which would have caught the attention of those people who read it originally. It was written to the Ephesians, a group of churches is thought in Ephesus, probably more like house churches. But if you read back in Acts 19, you'll see the story of how Paul evangelized that town, Paul and his associates. And it says there that every single person was reached with the gospel. Dave outlined last week that this imagery would have been very familiar to the people of the town. Ephesus was under Roman occupation, just like most of the Western world at the time. And so they would have been familiar with Roman soldiers walking around. They would have seen the armour. And of course, Paul himself was thought he was in custody at this point. And so he would have been seeing this imagery too. He would have been having this reminder of the armour as he wrote this letter. But before we get on to the breastplate, which is what I'm going to speak about this morning, can I just pick up on a couple of other things? The passage we've just read begins with the word finally. So meaning in light of all of this and henceforth, but in light of what? It's really difficult to give a summary of Ephesians, but it's a relatively short book. Why not go and read it and put this passage into the context of the whole book? But I'm just going to give a brief summary. So in light of all that God has done for you, in light of the standing you have as a child of God, in light of his great plan of the ages that God has made for you part of, in light of the plan for Christian maturity and growth he gives to you, in light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, in light of the filling of the Spirit and our walk in the Spirit, in light of all these things, and it goes on, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armour of God to be ready for a spiritual fight. The people of Ephesus would have been fully aware of the spiritual battle that was going on. Ephesus itself was an affluent place. A lot of archaeologists have found evidence that there were some very wealthy people who lived there. And you read back in Acts 19, there were people who were making statues out of silver and selling them. And so it was one of these places in the world that was very important. And actually, Ephesus itself was the home of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, if you're interested in those things. It was the temple of the Greek god Artemis. It was huge. It was a massive building which people were struck with awe when they came to it. When the Romans occupied the town, they allowed Ephesus the so-called honour of building temples to the divine Julius Caesar and the goddess Roma. And in Acts 19, we read about the beginnings of Christianity, and you can see for yourself that the spiritual battle was right there at the surface. Didn't take too much discerning. People from all over the region would come to this place. Artemis was the goddess, supposedly, of fertility. So people, if they wanted to have a child, they would come and they would be involved in rituals and they would be involved in sacrifices at this temple to beg the gods for fertility. And I guess if we're looking at this society today, it maybe is difficult to get our hands around what it would have been like to live there. There are places in the world like that today, and I don't know if some of you have been to the Far East, you can see some of the evidence of these sort of societies today. But for us living in the Western world, it does seem far removed from what we experience today. But back to that later. Onto the breastplate of righteousness. Another thing that would have resonated, especially with the followers of Jesus, who had a knowledge of the Torah and the prophets, the books of the Jewish people, was the expansion by Paul of the passage in Isaiah 59, which also talk about the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And I'll just read that for you, this passage, Isaiah 59, and starting at verse 12. For our offences are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offences are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on God. Inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets, honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased, and there was no justice. He saw there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. Paul takes this passage and expands on it slightly, but the building nature of the letter concludes that because all of that Jesus achieves on the cross and our position as children of God through him, we are able to put on God's armour. I don't know if you've thought about it that way. It's the armour of God. Is it armour that's made by God? No, in fact, it implies in the passage that it is God's own armour. And through Jesus, through our inheritance, we are able to put on God's armour. We take on his character. We bear his image in the world. Just as Roman soldiers bore the image of the Roman nation for all to see, it was evident to everyone in the world that you were in Rome. You were in the region of Rome because you saw their soldiers. You saw them dressed, even when they weren't on duty. So we bear the image of the one who made us and restored us in Jesus. Just as God put on his armour when the world was found to be unjust and unrighteous, so now we're to carry that same armour into the world as bearers of his image. So what is righteousness? The word here in Greek is, and I have to say that I can't pronounce Greek very well, but I think it says dikaiosune, dikaiosune. And its more accurate translation is God's judicial approval, what God judges to be right. The righteousness we talk about belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. The culture of today tells us that we should do whatever is right in our eyes. It tells us that we own the righteousness. But putting on the breastplate of righteousness is an acknowledgement of that God is the owner of righteousness. And we need to discern what it is that he sees as right and just and put ourselves under that rather than in our own sense of righteousness or in the world's broken sense of righteousness. So in the way of preachers through the ages, I'd just like to pick up three things that we could ponder or ruminate on as a result of this today. The first thing is that the spiritual battle that we face today is just as real as it was in Ephesus. It just really manifests itself in a different way. They had a very visual, visceral experience of what the spiritual world could be like. But here in the West, we tend to live in a bit of a state of apathy, maybe, because we don't see it so directly. Maybe if you go, like I said earlier, to the Far East, you might have an experience or see it slightly different. If you go to South America or into Africa, in some of the places in Africa, you might see that spiritual battle more evident. And if you're honest, when you speak to Christians in those places, their sense of the spiritual seems to be much more heightened than us in the Western world. But the battle is just as fierce, just as real in our country. Perhaps if you can't see the very direct nature of it, look for the consequences, look for the fruit of a society, and then you can begin to see the evidence of the battle, the spiritual battle, and the fruit that it causes in the world around us. We see so much brokenness, so much pain in our world. And Dave was imploring us last week to engage in this battle. And as wearers of God's righteousness, as wearers of God's breastplate of righteousness, I would also like to emphasize this. We're called to be people who treat the injuries of those caught up in a spiritual battle. As Jesus quoted from Isaiah, to bind up the brokenhearted. But we're also to carry God's righteousness. We're to carry his kingdom and plant it like mustard seeds wherever we go. We're to be good news to the poor. We're to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. We're to be a people who don't just treat the symptoms, although that's really important. But we bring the cure. But to bring the cure, we need to be discerners of what the disease is. I think never has the gift of discernment been more necessary in the church. And I would really encourage you as a first thing to ask God for this good gift, the gift of discernment of spirits. Ask him to reveal to you how he sees the world, how he sees our society, how he sees our communities, both individually and as a group of people at Wellman Baptist. Secondly, righteousness belongs to God. To grow in it, we need to be in a relationship with him where we allow him to change us to bear that righteousness well. And there are several ways of doing this, but I just want to pick up on a couple of things. I think it's really important that we have the ability to be reflective with God about the state of our hearts. David in Psalm 139 said this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting." David had this relationship with God where he wasn't frightened in any way to say to God, "Search my heart." In fact, it was a pleasure to him to ask God to search his heart, because then he was able to know the ways everlasting, be led in those ways everlasting. And so I'd like to encourage you today to be reflective with God about the state of your heart. Are you open to him? Are you allowing him to change the inside of you? That's very difficult to do, very hard. And the building of a relationship with God requires that we let our guards down, that we open our hearts to him. And one other way that we're able to do that is build a relationship with those people around us. I have this image of armor as well, and I don't, maybe it's medieval armor, but you know, you see these people who ride around on horses, but they've got such a heavy armor on that actually it takes another person to put that armor on for them. And I think it's an interesting analogy. I don't know whether it was like that with Roman armor, but I think it helps to fix our minds on it. Who is it who's helping you put your armor on? Who is it who is challenging you? Who are you being accountable to? Who is saying to you, are you putting on that breastplate of righteousness today? I know for myself, I'm incredibly defensive if people challenge me. Incredibly so. I don't know where it comes from. I guess that's the nature of sin. That's the nature of the person that we used to be. Maybe even with God sometimes, I'm defensive. So for me, it's really helped over the last few years to be doing a course where we were deliberate about allowing ourselves to be challenged by God and by one another. I wonder if you need to develop those kind of relationships where you trust someone that you can take your guard down so that they can begin to reflect to you what they see. And that's one of the ways that God can speak to you as you open your heart to him. It's a training process that we're going through. It's not an easy one, but we need to train. We need to work out in this to gain God's strength and to be able to exert his power. But it's a process. We live in a broken world, don't we? In the Vineyard Church, we call it the now and the not yet of the kingdom. We're in the now situation where sin is still in the world, where there's still brokenness. But there's still this sense that God is working, that he's able to transform. But we're in a not yet situation as well, where one day all things will be made right. So the first thing, just to remind you, the spiritual battle is real, but let's engage in it. We don't treat the symptoms, we become the cure. The second thing, grow in your relationship with God through Jesus. Be reflective, be accountable, build relationships. And the final thing I just want to mention this morning is, as we seek to be carriers of righteousness and God's justice in the world, we're inevitably going to enter a battle. The Roman soldier who we imagine in this passage was not a solitary entity when it came to the battle, but he was part of a military machine. He would link his shield with others to be both offensive and defensive at the same time, but he relied on the people around him for his safety. Similarly, we're called to be the army of God. We're called to be a group of people who trust in God as our leader, but we put our shields together to defend one another. We hold each other's up when they're in the midst of the battle. So when one person enters a battle, we take the training and experience that we've had in battle ourselves and we bring it to bear on their behalf. We pray without ceasing. We encourage them that their armour is good enough to withstand the onslaught, because it's God's armour. And sometimes we lock our shields with theirs to take ground. It saddens me sometimes when I hear people that have a relationship with God but really struggle to build relationships with Christians around them. We make ourselves easy targets sometimes. As a collective, as an army of God, we're much stronger than if we're on our own. So in conclusion, can I just encourage us to be careful about two things? Let's not be people who hyper-spiritualize everything. Sometimes we can get engaged in a game of spiritual splat the rat. It's a game governed by fear. Instead, let's allow God to make us discerning people who fall back on the sanity of God, on his vision for the world, which comes often through prayer, through speaking to him, and through other people when we're in a fight. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you feel like you're in a deep spiritual battle, but it's often difficult to see for yourself in those situations. But in prayer and having those people around us, we can often see a way through. But similarly, in the opposite direction, let's not be fooled into believing that there is no battle going on. I think it's easy to fall into that trap. There's a tightrope we need to walk, knowing where we are, being part of God's family, and bearing his image into this world for righteousness and justice.
Thanks, Rob. If you're new to Welton or not in a house group yet, they really are a great place to enable us to do those things which Rob has been talking about. Please do get in touch if you'd like to find out more. A link to our website is there somewhere in the chat if you have a look now. I hope you have a great week. God bless.